And I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll be reading through verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, 1 through 7. I'd like to speak to you this morning about how grandparents should be special. How grandparents should be special. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the privilege to look into your word again, and we thank you for everyone who's here in the service. We ask, Lord, that you might bless the word to each of our hearts. We pray for those who have needs today. We had a couple other requests after we had prayed earlier, and we pray, Lord, that you might meet those needs, the family that sorrows and the families that are going through troubles and trials and sickness. Lord, we just ask that each need might be met in accordance to your will. I pray for enablement to bring the message. Help us to see what makes a special grandparent. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Grandparents are special people, at least they should be. Now, all would agree that grandparents sometimes do receive special treatment, such as senior discounts. I like those. Do you know, I can be out and I've gone to the hospital or wherever it might be, doing visiting or doing some church business, whatever it is, and I need to stop for a quick lunch. I lots of times stop at Wendy's. And you know why I stop at Wendy's? Because Wendy's don't charge for their coffee for seniors. Senior coffee is free. I can get a small chili and a value fries and a senior coffee for $2.68. That's pretty good value. I like those special treatment for seniors. But also grandparents get another special treatment, and that is being called by special name. I mean, didn't you look forward to the time you were first called grandpa or grandma or grandmother or grandfather? I talked to Brother Dave Kistler the other day on the phone, and he said, we're expecting our first grandchild, and we can't hardly wait. Our first grandchild. It is a special thing. And people who have grandchildren are called grandfather or grandmother. That's special. Grandpa or grandma. Papaw and mamaw. I've heard Peepaw and Mimi. And then we are called by our grandchildren Papaw and Nana. And they have a special Nana. And then we have other special things. Sometimes you're in a group gathering and they allow the grandparents to eat first or the seniors to eat first. Now that's pretty special. But then we have something real special that's happening today, and that is a day called Grandparents' Day. Now, that's pretty special. And I like those special things. Now, all these special things are nice, and they're enjoyable if you're a grandparent. But these are not really the important things about being a grandparent. My wife and I, as you've heard today, we have 17 grandchildren. No greats yet, but we have 17 grandchildren. And many of you have grandchildren. But let's think seriously. How should grandparents be special? I mean, how should they be really special? We are not special because we have lived a lot of years. We are not special because we have grandchildren. We are not special because we can tell about funny things that happened in our past. We are not special because we can laugh at ourselves, and every grandparent should learn to do that. And we are not special because we buy kids, our grandkids, things. Because, you know, most grandparents do all those things. Many grandparents have those characteristics, but many of those grandparents will lead their grandchildren to hell if they follow their example. Let me say that again. Many so-called good grandparents who do all those things grandparents do that we just mentioned will lead their grandchildren to hell if they follow their example, because those grandparents don't know Jesus. They're not interested in Jesus. They don't want anything to do about spiritual things. And they, if their grandchildren follow them, they'll go to hell. Now, that's serious business. Now, I am sure no grandparent here wants to lead your grandchild to hell. No, you want the best for those that you love, and you want to be a special grandparent to your grandchild. So let's consider how grandparents should be special. In our text today, Paul talked about Timothy's grandmother, Lois. She was a woman of unfeigned faith. I looked up the word unfeigned in the original language. It's one word. It's not two words. It's one word. And it's a word that means hypocrisy. And then on the beginning of it, it has a prefix that negates that. In other words, not a hypocrite. And that translates into this: genuine faith. Not hypocritical faith, not saying you believe but you really don't, but genuine faith. Lois had genuine faith. Lois is only mentioned in the Scripture one time. In fact, she's the only grandmother that's mentioned by that name in the Bible, Lois. Now, her name itself means good, so she was a good grandmother. Her name means good or excellent. And the word grandmother that's translated grandmother here is not the normal word that the Greeks translate grandmother, but it's a word that actually says in the Greek language, it says mammy or mommy. And we get from that mama or mamaw or whatever. And many times they called their parents that, but it was adopted later to be a grandmother. And so Lois was the grandmother. So this woman of genuine faith passed her faith on to her daughter Eunice, and her daughter passed that faith on to her son Timothy. It says in Acts chapter 16 some more things about Timothy, and that is, it says in Acts 16:1, Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess. So she was a Jewish woman, and she believed. So she was a believer, a genuine faith, believer in Jesus Christ. And his father was a Greek. Now, it doesn't say that his father wasn't a believer, but it's sort of, you would sort of imply that, you know, that maybe he wasn't. But his mom was a Jew, and his dad was a Gentile. That was Timothy. But he had this mother who loved the Lord and was a woman of genuine faith, because she got that genuine faith from her mother, Lois, which was Timothy's grandmother. So we really have here three generations of faith started off by a godly woman, a woman of genuine faith named Lois. Surely she was a special granddaughter or grandmother. Now, all we know about Lois is that she was a woman of genuine faith and that she was Timothy's grandmother. But Paul said something else. He said Paul told Timothy that God did not give people like he and Timothy, when the word, it says in verse 7, us, he did not give people like he and Timothy the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So Timothy was a man of faith, as Paul was a man of faith. Timothy got that faith from his mother Eunice, and Eunice got that faith from his grandmother Lois. And so Lois and Eunice were people of genuine faith. And so Paul says, us, we who have genuine faith, God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. In other words, Lois had that as well. Lois was a special grandmother because she was a grandmother of genuine faith. She was fearless, she was powerful, she was a loving person, and she was of a sound mind. She was a special grandparent. So let's look this morning at these characteristics and ask ourselves, if we are grandparents, are we special grandparents? I say that you're not special because you give your grandkids gifts. Most grandparents do that. You're not special because you tell funny stories. Most grandparents do that. You're not special because you've learned to laugh at yourself. Good grandparents have learned to do that. We have to. You're not special because you're called grandma or grandpa or grandfather or grandmother. We're not special because of that, because that's true about all the grandparents. But what makes us really special grandparents, if we are grandparents with the qualities that Eunice and Lois had, grandmother Lois had, and that is a person of genuine faith, a person who was a fearless, a person who was powerful in her life, a person who was a person of love and a person of sound mind. Now, if you're a grandparent like that, then you are a special grandparent. Now, let's go through those characteristics. First of all, grandparents should be people of genuine faith. Faith means believing God. Faith is just believing God. God says something and we believe it. So it's faith in God's word. And God is, we truly believe the word of God, and whatever God says in his word, that we believe it. And so a person of genuine faith believes all that the Bible says about God. He believes all that the Bible says about creation, therefore we reject evolution, because the Bible says that's not true. We believe everything that God says about sin, so the things today that are trendy, that the world says is all right, the Bible says it's wrong, we agree with the Bible, we don't agree with the world. We have genuine faith. We believe what God says. We also believe what God says about history, things that happened in the past. If God said it happened, it happened. And so we read about Jonah, and he was swallowed by the whale, and he lived through it to tell about it, and he preached after that. And now the world might say, that's crazy, but no, God said it, so we believe it. And so we believe the Bible. We believe what God says about judgment. We believe what God says about the future. We believe what God says about heaven and what God says about hell. Why? Because the Word of God says that, and we believe the Word of God. We have genuine faith. We believe God's Word. We also have faith in God's Son. A person of genuine faith has faith in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only way to heaven. There is no other way. He came from heaven as the God-man and became a man. He came from heaven as God and became the God-man, took him on himself, human flesh. And he went to the cross of Calvary, and there he died for our sins, took the punishment that we deserve for our sins. He died for us. He was buried. He rose again the third day. That's the gospel. And Jesus did that so people could go to heaven with him, and so he could be saved and forgiven of all their sins. We believe that. We have faith in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. People with genuine faith have faith in God's power, or God's purposes and God's plan. God's purpose is to bring glory to himself. The Lord says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. The Bible says the purpose of the church is to bring glory to God. And so we believe that. We believe God's purpose is to bring glory to himself. We believe in God's plan, and God's plan is to whatever it takes for him to bring glory for him, to himself. And so God plans things, and he has things happen. And we know that if we know Jesus as our Savior, that we trust him. And so we can claim Romans 8:28, and says, all things work together for good to them that are called according to his purpose. God has a purpose and a plan. And so we believe that. And so when some bad thing happens in our life, we believe that God has a plan and God has a purpose. We trust him. And so this last couple days, I've been texting our sons down in Florida. We're praying for you, praying that God will see you safe. I text my daughter-in-law's dad and mom, and they said, thank you. And they said, we're trusting God. We're relying on him, and we're trusting him. It's so good to trust the Lord. My son Joseph sent back a picture, and it's him sitting at the foot of a telephone pole, and he's hanging on to it. And he said, Dad, I'm prepared. And I texted back and I said, hang on tight. He was joking, but his faith is in the Lord. I know he's trusting Jesus. You know, it's good when things happen. We don't know why. We don't know all the purposes. We don't know all that. But we just know this. God has a plan and God has a purpose. And we can trust him through everything that happens in our life. And so we're people of genuine faith. Now, it's genuine because we live what we say we believe. James says, you know, a person without their faith is not backed up by their works, then they don't really have true faith. And your grandchildren know whether you really trust God. They know whether you really love the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. They know whether you really believe the Bible. They know whether you believe these things if you're a person of genuine faith. And so to be a special grandparent, you need to have genuine faith. But then there's a second thing. Grandparents should be people who are fearless. Verse 7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." You know, many times in the Scripture, God told people not to fear. I looked this up and I thought it was very interesting. Many, many times. And of course, when it says fear not, there's a lot of times it's not God saying it. Sometimes it's an ungodly person saying it. But sometimes it's God's people telling other God's people, don't fear, fear not. But many times it's God saying, fear not. And here I wrote down the people God said that to. God said, fear not to Abram. He said it to Hagar. He said it to Isaac. He said it to Jacob. He said it to the children of Israel as a whole many times. He said it to Gideon. He said it to King Ahaz. He said it to Daniel. He said it to Zacharias and Joseph and Mary and the shepherds and the women at the tomb and Jairus and Peter and Paul and John and the disciples. He said, fear not. And many times when he said that, he said this, because I am with you. I am with you. And so we need to be people who are fearless. And a special grandparent is a parent who's learned to trust God and he does not have to fear. Grandparents who have genuine faith have learned through the Scripture and personal experience that we do not need to fear. You see, we need to be like Paul. Remember, Paul was on that ship going to Rome and the storm came up. And it was so bad, it said, all hope that we should be saved was gone. Everybody had given up hope. I mean, it was worse than Irma. I mean, they were out there on the ship, and they were in the midst of the water, and the ship was about to sink, they thought. And all hope that we would be saved was gone. We gave up hope. But then he said the Lord appeared to him. And the Lord says, be of good cheer. And nobody's going to die that's on this ship. I'm going to spare you. And so he stood up before those people. He said, folks, be of good cheer. And then he said this, I believe God. You know, we should be people who've lived for Jesus for a long time who can say to our grandkids, when they come to us with troubles, look, I know it's tough, and I know you don't understand all this, but you can trust the Lord. I believe God. And you can face the trials fearless, and they need to look at us and say, this is a person who's not afraid. They're not afraid of life. They're not afraid of death. They're not afraid of Satan. They're not afraid of the future, because the Lord has promised that the future is going to work all out all right. All things will work together for good. The Lord says the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And if we're grandparents who love the Lord and we trust the Lord, we can be fearless, because we remember Jesus said to his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. He also said in Philippians through Paul, he says, be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The Lord says, you don't need to fear. You just need to trust. And so, special grandparents are fearless. That doesn't mean that we don't get concerned about things. Sure, we all do. But it does mean that we should not worry. We should take our concerns to the Lord, and our grandchildren should see that Grandma and Grandpa are fearless. Now, as I prepared this message, I have to say something to you, and that is, I always pray that the Lord would use a message to convict people and speak to their hearts. But in this message in particular, as is often true, but in this message in particular, I have to say that God spoke to my heart. And God made me examine myself. And he made me ask the question, are you special? Are you really special? Do your grandchildren see this in you? We all need to ask that. We all need to be honest and say, Lord, am I really special? Do I have genuine faith? Am I fearless? And then another quality of the grandparent that is truly special is that grandparents should be people who are of power. People of power. You know, I looked up the concept of power in the Scripture and I found that Christians have power from the Lord for many things. The Lord says we have power to witness. I've told you before, but one of the things that I remember about my dad is he was fearless to witness. And he would talk to people. When I was a little kid, would stand there, you know, and watch him. He'd talk to people about Jesus, and I'd say, "Wow, that took a lot of nerve." But I'm glad I have that remembrance of him. Well, the Lord says that we have power to witness. In Acts chapter 1, he says, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me." So we have power to witness. We also have power for trials, the trials of this life. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, Paul was talking. You remember, he said he had a thorn in the flesh, some physical infirmity. And then he said this, the Lord told him, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." We have power for trials. And so we're a person, if we're a special grandparent as God wants us to be, we are a person of power, power to witness, power for the trials because God gives us that power, and also power for service. In Ephesians 1:19, Paul prayed for the Ephesians that they might know the exceeding greatness of his power. Notice how he piles up the word, exceeding greatness of his power. To us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. God is all powerful, and so we can do whatever God wants us to do. We are people of power, and so many times we present the picture of weakness, but God says, "No, you're people of power. You can, because God can help you do this." Also, it says in Ephesians 3, verse 20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly," he piles them up again, "exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." So God wants us to do something. Can we do it? Yes, if God wants us to do it, I'll guarantee you we can do it. Because he gives us power. He gives us the power to do it. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And so we have power for service. We have also power against the devil. Grandchildren should be able to look at their grandparents who love Jesus and say, my grandpa, my grandma, they're not afraid of the devil. They know about his wiles. They know about his tricks. They warn me about those. And they're not afraid of the devil because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. They respect the devil's power and all that, but they're not afraid of him because the Lord is with them and he's much more powerful than they are. And so the Lord says in Ephesians 3, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand. So standing against the devil by the power that God gives us. We also have power for good works. Colossians 1, verse 10 says, "Fruitful in every good work, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power." So God will enable you to do the good works that he wants you to do. A grandparent who's really special is a person who's powerful because the Lord gives them that power. But then also grandparents who are special are people of love. People of love. It says in verse 7 again, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love." So grandparents, like Lois, are people of love, genuine love. Love for God. Yes, we love God. And the grandkids will know whether we truly love God. They'll know whether you say, "Well, I love God," but you don't love him enough to even come to church. They'll know that. They see through that. The grandchildren will know whether you truly love God or not. And the Bible says in Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." Do we love God? If we really love God, we can trust him to work all things together for good. Also, we love others. Grandkids will see that we love others as well. Romans 5, verse 5 says, "The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that's given unto us." If you're truly a child of God, you will love other people because that's the Holy Spirit's character. And he sheds abroad in our hearts love for one another. If you're a grandparent that's always griping and always complaining and always negative and always down on people, and the grandkids can't see that you love people, then they have really questioned whether you have genuine faith or not. Because the Lord says we're to love. And Paul said, we're not given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And so we love one another. Romans 12:10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Romans 13, verse 10 says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Love doesn't have a case out against his neighbor and does everything he can to get even with his neighbor. Love doesn't do that. Love works no ill to his neighbor. So a special grandparent is a grandparent of love. Also, special grandparents love their spouse. Do your grandkids see that grandpa does not love grandma? Does the grandchildren see that grandma does not respect grandpa? The Lord says we're to love. Ephesians chapter 5 says, husbands, love your wives. Titus chapter 2 said, the older women, the aged women, teach the younger women to love their husbands. And that means that these older women, these grandmas, you might say, love their husbands, and so they teach the younger women to love their husbands. Yes, we have love. Grandparents who are special love their spouse, but they also love their children. Titus chapter 2, verse 4 says, also those aged women are to teach these younger women to love their children. Now, you can't teach them to love their children unless you've loved your children. And so these older women are to teach the younger women something they have been practicing all their life, and that is to love your kids. I ask you today, do your grandchildren see that you love their parents? Love their children. That means grandparents love their children. Of course, they're going to love their grandkids. They say, those grandkids, why didn't they come first? Well, it's impossible. But do your grandkids see that you love mom and dad? And that's what we need to make sure that they understand, that we are people of love, and we love God, and we love others, and we love the believers, and we love our neighbors, we love our spouse, we love our kids. And grandkids see if you really have love. And then also a special grandparent has that final characteristic, and that is they have a sound mind. Now, I know you get older, sometimes your grandkids might question whether you have a sound mind. But the word sound mind is one word in the original language, and it means a disciplined mind. It means a self-controlled mind. And it means that we have things together, so to speak, and our mind, the way we think, is genuine. It's in relation to our faith, and it's in relation to the fact that we love people, and it's in relation to the fact that we have the power of God and we're fearless. It all just goes together. Their sound mind is a disciplined mind. How do we get a disciplined mind? Well, Romans 12, remember a few weeks ago I spoke on a presentation of ourselves. In Romans 12, it says, we present ourselves to the Lord, and one thing we have to do is be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And renewing our mind is taking out all the junk that shouldn't be there, thinking on right things. And you are what you think. You're the kind of person that you think. And if you're all the time dwelling on negative things or things that are not wholesome, if you're watching those bad shows and you're reading those bad books and you're all the time thinking of those bad things, then that's going to affect your mind. The Lord says, no, we need to have a disciplined mind. A disciplined mind throws out those bad things. That's why Paul said in Philippians, he said, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So we think on things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, a good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy. We think on those things. And as you think on those things, you're cleaning out your mind of the bad things, just like a computer, you know, junk in and junk out. Well, you put junk in your mind, and that's going to come out in your life. And so grandparents who really are special have a disciplined mind. They've learned to think the right things. We must control the way we think. A controlled mind will lead to a controlled life. And a controlled mind will lead to a prioritized life so that we put first things first. In other words, if we're a grandparent that's really special, our mind is controlled so that we prioritize our life and God is first and family. And then our family and our church. Church family is so important and God has so much to say about that. And then our neighbors and our testimony. And last on the list are things. But so many people, even when they get up in years, the main thing they can think about are things. The Lord says a sound mind is a controlled mind, and I believe a controlled mind prioritizes our life so that we think on the right things, and our mind is centered on things that God wants us to think about. So how grandparents should be special. They should be special in faith. They should be special in fearlessness. They should be special in power. They should be special in love, and they should be special in sound mind. And you know, really, those things, old age doesn't have to affect all those. We sometimes think we're special if we can do things for our kids or grandkids. We've got to have money to do that, and we think that makes us special, but the Lord, and all these things, it doesn't involve things, really. It involves faith. It involves fearlessness. It involves power with the Lord, and it involves love, and it involves a sound mind. And you can be a special grandparent and have very little of this world's goods because those things are most important. When we are faithful, fearless, powerful, loving, and sound-minded, people will have a lasting influence from our life upon them. I want to close this morning by reading about a past president. Godly parents leave an unforgettable impression on their families. And this man's mother, who was probably a grandmother to some people, left a great impression upon him. This is often evidenced by love and respect they receive from their children. Take, for example, the thoughtfulness that William McKinley showed his mother. As a lawyer, a congressman, a governor of Ohio, and as president of the United States, he kept in touch with her every day. When he didn't see her, he wrote or telegraphed. In mid-October of 1897, he quietly left the White House and took a train to Canton, Ohio, just so he could walk to church with his mother again. When she became ill, he arranged to have a special train standing by at full steam, ready to take him to her bedside. Then one night, she did call for him. Immediately he wired, "Tell mother I'll be there." Mrs. McKinley died on December the 12th, 1897, in the arms of her 54-year-old son. Her gentle Christian virtues helped mold the president's character, for when he was gunned down in Buffalo, New York, about 4 years later, he showed no bitterness toward his assassin. With Christian courage, he said, "God's will be done." Before he died, he asked to hear once again the hymn, "Nearer My God to Thee," which his mother had taught him. You see, that mom, not too many of us know anything about her, but that mom had a lasting influence. If we are the kind of grandparent we should be, if we're that special grandparent like God defines, then I believe we'll have a lasting influence on those who love us and look up to us. May God help us to be that. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for the privilege to share this message. Lord, we ask that you might use it to convict each of our hearts. Lord, I ask that you might help me to be a grandfather who there is no question about his genuine faith. There's no question that he's fearless to serve Jesus. There's no question that I have power of God in my life. There's no question that I'm a man of love. And there's no question that I have a disciplined mind to put first things first. Lord, we have to say we failed you in some of those things. And I ask for help. Help us to be the grandparent we should be. And there's some here today, Lord, who are young. They're not even parents yet. But Lord, help them to remember that someday they will be. And if they're going to be that kind of grandparent that you want them to be, they've got to be the right kind of person right now. And they can begin to develop that character. Because we see Timothy had a mom who loved Jesus and had a grandmother who loved Jesus, and they had genuine faith. Make us those kind of people, we pray, in Jesus' name.